Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Dark Temp 66, aka Joe. We also have Ezra on the call as well, as usual. First off, we want to apologize. It has taken so long to get a new episode up and going with life and everything else. It's kind of brought us to a standstill a bit, but we're dedicated to the channel and the podcast as much as we've ever been. So thank you again for your patience. So we were just talking about what we were going to talk about tonight. So I think the first thing is The Witcher Go. That's what it's called, right?
I mean, I don't think it has an official name, but we might as well call it that since it is basically Witcher with Pokemon Go built in.
Yeah, so I never played Pokemon Go. So I might be more excited than the next person, but have you played Pokemon Go at all?
I think I played maybe like the first few days of it. Caught a few Pokemon, but then after that, like, I don't think, because of the area that I live in, there was no nearby gyms or anything at the time, so it would have been like driving all over the city.
Yeah, so explaining the premise of it, it's pretty much, it's your mobile phone game where you go out and you hunt Pokemon, but in this case it's going to be Witcher monsters from the Witcher series slash franchise, and then you join other people, I'm guessing, which would be my gyms.
Yeah, you're gonna be fellow Witchers, you know. You'll be Vesemir because you're old as fuck. No, I'm just kidding.
I think Vesemir's the best character in the series, though. He's actually one of my favorite characters in the series. I'm interested to see. Not that this podcast is dedicated to only The Witcher, but we are pretty big Witcher franchise fans here. I'm interested to see Vesemir. I hope they put him in the new season 2 of the Netflix series.
Yeah, I think he is confirmed to be in there.
Yeah. So
he's been cast already. People wanted Mark Hamill.
I did hear that.
Yeah, but Mark Hamill was like, "Nah, I don't even know who this. But The Witcher is no thanks. I'll pass." Well, and then somebody else ended up getting the job.
I can't even picture Mark Hamill, to really be honest with you. And Mark Hamill's notoriously not a fantastic actor. Like, I think he played in Star Wars, and what else has he played in? You know, nothing. Or at least things that people will remember. Yeah. So.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we've been out of the game for a little bit, at least when it comes to the podcast. I know there was a few, maybe about a week and a half, where I stopped playing the Gwent card game, mainly because I felt that Skellige was way too powerful. They did make some fixes to it, for sure, in terms of reducing provision costs for some cards. I know there's a lot of changes coming, especially with some leader abilities. Ezra, how much do you know about that stuff coming out?
I believe it's going to be revealed tomorrow after the finals match, or maybe sometime during, you know, the breaks in between before the finals start. They're actually, if you want to pull it up, either way, because it doesn't matter on whose channel, there is icons under their official Twitter account for the Plague Wind, and you can actually see what the new leader abilities look like.
Shit. I mean, we could have been
That's all they've teased so far, is just the icons for what the leader abilities look like. I know that there's a Leshen on there, so it may possibly hint at a new monster deck that has to deal with what is that ability that the monsters use?
Overwhelming Hunger?
No. I don't know. There's an ability that the Leshens use in The Witcher 3. I forgot what it's called. It's where they summon like other clones or other monsters to swarm.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, I think looking at it, it appears that they're going to remove a lot of the abilities that draw additional cards, which will be interesting. Yeah, for sure, because I think with all the different leader abilities and drawing additional cards, I mean, it can definitely be overused. So what type of leader abilities? I mean, Mystic Echo appears to be gone, correct?
Yes, Mystic Echo, Wild Card, Strategic Withdrawal, Pincer Maneuver, Death Shadow, and then we also have the, there's one more. I'm
Yeah.
thinking of. Oh, Second Wind.
Second Wind. Yeah, it's another big one. Yeah, because I think drawing additional cards is pretty much, I mean, that's, I think, the best ability you can play. Giving yourself an additional card. I mean, it all comes down to card advantage for sure. Who has last say? But when you have a move that draws two additional cards or three additional cards, it's really difficult to come back from it.
Exactly. Like they're in the open today. That was like that guy I was telling you about. I forgot what his name was. Started with a W. He was playing Nilfgaard, and then he was the only one out of everybody that was using the Nilfgaard deck list to incorporate that card that allowed him to draw a card, but then he also placed a card from his hand to the bottom of his deck, and it had a one turn cooldown. Like pretty much, I think that's a really good card because it can basically get rid of the trash that you ended up drawing that game or that round.
Well, yeah, it gives him the chance to make sure that he's drawing the card that he actually needs to draw. So, I mean, the more times you give yourself the chance to draw the cards you need, the more likely you are to win the game. So.
Yeah, he may, I think he ended up still losing that game, but it was still really nice to see, somebody run a completely different card that you normally would not see in the Nilfgaard deck lists.
Yeah. So I watched a few matches at Gwent Open. I watched, of course, Telebot was playing. It was nice to see some double ball being played. I don't think the double balls really did too well, to be honest. I mean, they did okay, but I think just playing against Telebot, like he's just so good at the game. So it was interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, the double ball did pretty good today. I think it was more of just, hey, watch out. I have this. Don't play too much of a tall unit. Otherwise, it is going to disappear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been interesting to see some of the meta changes too, because when I first stopped playing the game as much, it was pretty much Skellige was tier one and everything else was, or Skellige was tier zero, excuse me. And then you had tier one, then everything else was tier two. It's interesting to see how it's kind of moved. I mean, Northern Realms has definitely been seeing some love. And it's funny because the deck is essentially a deck that I think a lot of people were playing, but they were just missing a few key cards to make it a tier one deck. You have a mix of like the Prince Ansiis, the Varaxis. You have a mix of some people playing the War Elephant. I don't think that's played really in the meta right now, though. At least War Elephant. I know early on when I was playing Northern Realms, I was playing a lot of War Elephant, a lot of Frigate. But now it pretty much, yeah, it's Bloody Baron, Queen Adalia, Dodemir of Troy, Reyner Odo, Jon Natalius, Anna Stranger. So it's using the boost with the drummer ability against the Tritium Infantry to pretty much do one damage. So it's going back,
Exactly.
yeah, it's going back to the old, I wouldn't say the old meta of Northern Realms, but kind of blending in the new stuff. So actually, I apologize. So it actually does have War Elephant built in. So it's a combination of kind of both of them.
Yeah, because I believe you can pretty much feed off of the or recover from the War Elephant's damage because it does four adjacent to each unit to the left or the right of it. And you can pretty much recover that with Anna or Odo, or even use an uprising to recover back from it.
Yeah,
Back.
or just don't, or just play it between frigate and two soldiers so you get the plus eight instead of the damage done.
Frigate will replace the tokens anyway, so you pretty much just get a free 16 unit.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a really good either super early tempo play or a very quick, maybe like a round two or something like that. I think that's one of the most difficult things with Gwent is kind of understanding. When do you go far into round one? When do you stop pushing, go into round two? It does seem a lot of people aren't passing as much as they used to in round two. So I think that seems to change a lot the more I play Gwent, so.
Yeah, that happened perfectly today. Demarcation actually, in a sense, showed why he's the best player in the world right now. He basically played out his hitting cash deck, got nothing but his bronze engines out, and didn't even actually like really even waste any important ones. And guy, his opponent passes, they go into round two, and then he just goes full in with Passiflora and all those, powerful cards, and then he passes, at two cards, and his opponent had to basically play everything just to catch up while he was playing with Skellige. So he ended up wasting a Herald, Morkvarg, and Heimdall, and didn't even catch up all the way. Like, it was super close. He actually ended up having to use his leader ability as well to catch up.
Yeah. I think, it's one of the basics of Gwent we talk about a lot in this podcast, 'cause the channel in the podcast, if you guys don't listen a lot, was created for people who are new to the game, people who are trying to get a little bit better at it. I wouldn't say it's meant for the absolute pro players quite yet. We do have pro players, of course, in the podcast, but it's meant for more people trying to access the game. And one of the hardest things you'll learn with Gwent is to understand, of course, when to pass, when to carry into additional rounds, but also when to play trade-off cards. So, if you're playing a bronze card and he's playing a gold card, are you keeping count of the quality of the cards he's playing, and what cards are you playing against that? So keeping the score close as well is incredibly important too. That's something that comes with time. So as you learn the decks you're playing against, you kind of need to understand what cards they're possibly playing. It's kind of like counting cards in poker, I guess you could almost say. What are they likely to have in their hand? And that's what you kind of have to understand when you play Gwent. So you'll learn that as you get further into the meta and playing and further into the ranks. But it's another big thing to think about. But yeah, I think it's nice to see. It's nice to see Syndicate get so much more powerful with Hidden Cache. I mean, I don't play Syndicate a lot. I actually don't play Syndicate at all. Now, one of the things I was focusing on the last season was making a Syndicate deck and getting into it, but I still haven't. I know you play a what is the name of the deck? Go ahead and tell me the deck you've been playing. The Fire Swarm Zealot, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I've just been messing around with it. I mean, I know it's probably not going to be able to compete, as I get higher and higher in the rank. But I mean, it's a fun deck to play regardless.
I think the Fire Swarm deck meta isn't there yet, but I think it's going to be a very powerful deck. It's almost.
I mean, it's very RNG heavy. Like, if you do not draw what you need right off the start,
Yeah.
and if you can't get your Fallen Knights going, then you're gonna lose. Like, when we played, just in our little brief scrimmage, I didn't draw any of my Fallen Knights. I didn't draw my Ulrich. So all I had was my tokens. Like, that was literally the bulk of all my first hand.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's as much as it reminds me almost, I wouldn't say a monster deck, but it's very swarmy. It can put a lot of stuff on the board quickly, and those cards can get really out of hand if you draw the right things. So it'll be interesting to see, excuse me, how the deck evolves. I think that's a kind of the cool thing about Gwent, and I bring it up a lot in podcasts. I bring it up a lot just in my channel about how much I talked about Squirrel and how I thought it was incredibly underplayed, and you just see kind of how much it's played now. So it's interesting to see how cards change. So it'll be interesting to see as well how the meta changes too. But I think Squirrel is a must-have a lot in a lot of decks, especially the decks that play Echo. But yeah, you lose out on the Devotion, of course, because it is considered a not a standard card. What is it considered? A non-devotion card, whatever you want to call it. So you can't keep to your devotion if you play Squirrel.
It's a neutral card.
A what?
It's a neutral card?
Neutral card. Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, like, I mean, to be honest, you didn't even really see it that often in the open. I think I saw it get played like twice
Yeah, I kind of.
throughout all the games that happened.
I was looking at the deck list as well, and I didn't see it being played a lot, and I think that was kind of interesting too. I think maybe.
I think they were just okay with letting their opponent have, their Echo card back because, as long as theirs wasn't getting banned, it was more like a gentleman's, handshake kind of thing. Like, hey, if we're both gonna use this, we'll let each other have our cards,
You think it's more of, well, not not going to say it's not that, but would you say it's more of that they have to show their deck list before they play each other?
It might be too. I mean, I don't know if the players go into the games knowing each other's decks like that, or it's just, for our benefit.
So as far as I know, when they go into those Gwent Opens, they submit four decks. I want to say it's either four, I think it's four decks. The player disbands one of the decks that is submitted, but they get to see the entire deck list, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, well then, yeah, then definitely that's how it works.
I could be wrong, but the last time I was, I think it was Jupiter brought it up when he was playing a lot. He was telling me that they actually know the decks, and I think that changes a lot of it too, because you kind of know what's coming.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, most of them are pretty much cookie cutter, except for, the occasional surprise as to what they have in their hand. You still have to play like you don't know what they have, because it could still catch you off guard.
So yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about Gwent and kind of what's going on with us. I mean, Gwent's been kind of quiet lately. I think you and me have been kind of talking about it, just looking at Twitch and who's streaming it. Maybe it's because a lot of people aren't streaming it, is why it's quiet. Do you think people are getting bored of it? Do you think that the meta isn't, or the changes haven't caught up enough? Do you think that people are just playing other games? What do you think it is?
I mean, we know just from the turnout today in the open, I believe the viewership is there. People, want to see players compete at the highest level. That's not a problem. It's, I think, because of the fact that the game is more of an on the international scene, you have more international players from different countries playing rather than Americans. That might be why. It does seem to be like a trend that the later it gets for America, the more people will start watching, like around 3 or 4 a.m. Like, I noticed the numbers will spike up to about like 2K at the most, and it's mostly people from Poland, Russia, China, all those countries, that most of the pro players are from. And that might be why, just because it's more entertaining to watch internationally than watching, Americans play, because Americans aren't represented on the pro scene in Gwent right now.
I mean, I hope it continues keeping strong. I think a couple of the things going on is that I don't think they catch up fast enough with some of the changes that are needed. So people get like super burned out like super quick. I mean, there was a time 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago when the I felt Skellige was super broken, that you had the top people. I mean, not even the top players, like in terms of like maybe being ranked, but like let's like Spyro, trying to think of the other guys that we're talking about. But anyways, you had like big YouTube guys that were pretty much saying it's really hard to play right now. And I think when you have that kind of stuff coming out, it gets difficult to back off on it. And I think there's a lot of new games coming out too, which also might be causing the lack of streaming when it comes to Gwent. But I think like you said, the viewership is super strong. It's just kind of bringing them all together. So,
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, it's great to see, that the community does exist. People do, like I said earlier, people do want to watch this game succeed. I think that surprised me the most, was seeing that a lot of the players, are from China. Demarcation, I think his name is Wing ID. Was
Winged,
one of
Infiltrator, or whatever.
yeah yeah and then there was one more, I believe. I could be mistaken, but it just seems like China is just dominating, the Gwent scene in terms of what players are being represented.
So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we're kind of the Witcher and Gwent and what we're kind of talking about. I mean, what are the games we've been playing? What are the games we're excited for? I know our channel and our podcast right now is focused around Gwent and the Witcher universe, but would you like to stem out a little bit towards the end of our podcast? So, what games are you currently playing?
I mean, besides Gwent, we have dabbled in some Thronebreaker. I've been enjoying that off stream a lot. That was taking a lot of my time up for just recently. And then I was before that, it was Final Fantasy, like I said, off stream. And then I'm gonna start playing The Witcher 3 on stream again.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Witcher 3, that's it. That's my top 10, I think, for sure. Which is interesting because I played a little bit of The Witcher 2. I never played The Witcher 1. I might one day play all those games, but I actually played The Witcher 3 before I played The Witcher 2. I played a little bit of The Witcher 3, then went to The Witcher 2, and I was like, I can't do this. Played The Witcher 3, played it ungodly amount of times with all its DLC, read the books and all that stuff. So I do hear some rumors about a new Witcher game coming out, but Geralt being completely removed from the storyline, so it'll be interesting to see how they do it. Other games I'm kind of playing right now, I mean, to be honest with you, once Cyberpunk comes out, I think be the only thing I'm playing, the only thing I'm streaming. I'm actually playing Wastelands 3 right now, which is really fantastic. If you guys haven't heard about it, it's actually made from the original people who kind of theory crafted the Fallout series. So everything's kind of played top down, kind of like an XCOM kind of feel, but an original Fallout RPG kind of feel with your abilities, just the language, the storyline. It's really, really good. It is on Steam for $59.99, but if you have the Xbox Game Pass or you have the Xbox Game Pass for PC beta, it is free. So I would definitely check that one out. I think we're both also playing Fall Guys, which I think kind of everyone's kind of playing now. So I got it at $19.99. Apparently it's $29.99 now.
All guys.
Yeah, so. So for its value at $19.99, I think it's a fun side game. I think after about a couple hours, I get kind of bored of it. So it's interesting to see people play it like all the time. But yeah, Fall Guys, yeah, that's another game we're playing. And then World of Warcraft is back. They have announced their new expansion, Shadowlands, coming out in October, which was actually much earlier than I expected. So. Another good game.
Somebody's gonna lose their life away.
Yeah, so like World of Warcraft and me, we have like a love-hate relationship. So when I was in college, that is all I. Well, actually, even before. Well, yeah, freshman year of college, it's all I played all the way through college. I actually got out of it, I want to say 2 years after I graduated, and actually just coming back after 10 years. It's such a change. It's a very good game. You have to get past the whole paying a monthly fee to play it, but at the same time, if you play free to plays where you pay, let's say $10 or $15 for cosmetics, I guess it's kind of the same thing, And there is a shite load of content when it comes to World of Warcraft, so it'll be interesting to see how that carries over. Are there other games that you're looking forward to this year, Ezra, or next year?
Like I said, we have Cyberpunk, definitely for sure. We have Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
I was about to say Valhalla is super excited for that as well.
And it's similar to Valhalla, Hellblade 2. That looks like that's going to be an incredible game. The first one was amazing. I don't know if you've ever played that one.
Yeah, the Hellblade, what was the name of it? Sacrifice, whatever.
Yeah, Senua's
Senua's
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yeah, that was a BAFTA award winner. Just an absolutely fantastic game. Very, very artistic. It's great to see they still make games like that. It was definitely an eye opener.
Yeah, we're glad how good it was. What's another game that I'm excited for? Oh. This may seem kind of silly, but I'm actually excited to see an MLB The Show game finally come to PC. I
Yeah.
think they said next year MLB The Show is coming to PC, and I'm a huge baseball fan. I love my Houston Astros,
Shit, I
so
haven't played fucking
I
MLB The
cannot wait to
Show
play
since.
MLB on PC.
I
That is
haven't
going to be
played MLB The
insane.
Show since PS3, I think it was. I played the crap out of MLB The Show. Houston fan. So I'm a big Braves fan, so. You could tell by the
Oh, we're
logo.
definitely gonna have to play a game then. I'm gonna have to tell
Yeah.
you who's boss.
I have not played a baseball game in a really long time. I think Major League Baseball, its whole franchise, they do not do a good job with catering to their audience. I mean, their game continues to shrink in terms of who watches baseball. They try to like do things like make the game shorter, put a runner on second in the extra innings, make double headers 7 innings. But at the same time, you look at, associations like the NBA, who, I mean, they are broadcasting and marketing their players so well. You can buy all of their shoes. Their games are on every console. Their game have in-game currency. Everyone's playing NBA 2K. Then you have the show, which is locked to a console, and nobody plays it. It's just, ugh. They're so out of touch. They're so out of touch with their community. But let's not get into that.
This isn't an MLB stream.
It is not an MLB stream, that is for sure. So, any other things you want to talk about around the Gwent or anything like that?
We could talk about how, honestly, I think they were saying that your favorite faction is considered the weakest. I'm actually very surprised because I always thought that Nilfgaard was always going to be at the top.
They're talking about the
A lot, judging.
weakest in terms of the new meta or weakest in terms of what they have planned.
The new meta, like they're saying that Nilfgaard is just struggling in terms of keeping up with all the adjustments that other cards are getting.
I wouldn't say they're the weakest. I'd say at one point in time they were. So here's my thing. So before Karathi Heatwave came out, I think Nilfgaard was a little bit overpowered. And I think that was when Scoia'tael had the double Waters of Broglie in with Mystic Echo. And that was super. I wouldn't say it was overpowered, but it was a really good faction. Because then you had. My God. Oak tree, what the hell is that?
Yeah, the great
The
oak
Great
tree.
Oak Tree, which was, I mean, one of the best last card plays for Scoia'tael. I mean, you played a Scoia'tael deck and they had the last card, you knew they were going to play Great Oak, right? So you had those two factions. But my whole thing is they released Karathi Heatwave, which pretty much dealt with Nilfgaard at the time, because Nilfgaard's main play was
That's football.
Masquerade Ball. So I don't know, understand what the whole complaint was with how Nilfgaard was overpowered, because all you had to do is play Karathi Heatwave. Now you have Karathi Heatwave, now you have Bomb Heaver, now you have Squirrel. I mean, there's so many cards that can deal with Masquerade Ball. So then they introduced the spies, I think, to the whole meta to make it, you don't have to play Masquerade Ball, you can play spies. But I think that Nilfgaard has so many different levels that you can play. You can play Masquerade Ball with Poison and Lock. You can play a double Masquerade Ball Poison. You actually even play a triple Masquerade Ball Poison Lock if you want. You can play a double Masquerade Ball Poison and Lock. You can play a single Masquerade Ball with spies. You can play a pure Assimilate deck. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can play a Nilfgaard deck. So I'm very reluctant to say that Nilfgaard's a weak faction.
It's honestly just Twitch chat. I mean, Twitch chat is just gonna go with whatever their most favorite streamer is gonna be saying, because Spyro is saying it a lot, Trinet's saying it a lot. People are just gonna instantly go with them. I
I mean,
see why.
if they're saying it a lot, Trinet is someone I would respect the most out of the majority of Gwent people, just because he doesn't play in pro, he plays at the one rank, and but
Exactly.
I don't think it's as weak as they're saying. I don't think you could put them in the Scoia'tael. Like, I think without a doubt, Scoia'tael is the weakest, but I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we got Northern Realms, which is pretty much picking up. I mean, they're towards the top now, which is really cool to see. You have the Hidden Cache and the Syndicate, which is kind of coming through. They're at the top. Then you have kind of Skellige back and forth. I think Nilfgaard, the same kind of back and forth. I think Scoia'tael is the one that needs the most love. And then monsters, I think monsters have kind of always tiered towards the middle. I think the monster meta now that they have is at the top. I'm not mistaken. No. So they're a Frost deck that someone's playing, and of course Ethereal. They were towards the top when Ethereal was, you know, not locked down to the whole, what was the card that was changed? What was that? Yeah, well, Ethereal, back in the day you could play Ethereal twice really easily, but now it's incredibly difficult. You can only play it once, so that kind of changed a lot of the monster stuff, so. Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of what our stream is, and then, guys, again, we really appreciate the patience with the podcast and everything. We have dedication to the channel, for sure. I think just with life and everything else, we kind of let it go a little bit, so we definitely appreciate it. We're doing this this podcast live, too, so if you want to check us out live during the podcast, we do it Tuesdays at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. We might move it to 10 o'clock to kind of allow a couple other people to join us. If you're interested in joining the podcast, you can enter either of our Twitch channels. That is Ezra, that's E-Z-R-A-S, or DarkTemp66, DarkTemp66. Our streaming schedules are there. I also post our Twitch channels below in the comment section. We also have a Discord channel. We are the Barkeeps of Redania, is our actually official name now. So if you guys are interested in joining the podcast or listening live or donating or just, you know, being a part of the process, we would love to have you. If you're new to the game, leave a comment in the comment section. We'll also be starting a YouTube channel here pretty soon as well to make it a little bit more accessible to everybody. But guys, thank you so much again for joining us. We will see you next time.